virtualization is increasing at all levels of IT, from the desktop to the data center. This leads to the question, how do you ensure that all your virtualized environments are secure? I'm James Hilliard, and on today's episode of Connection Point, we're talking with Dan Reese, Enterprise Product Marketing Director at Trend Micro. Dan was a key thought leader at Nokia in regards to their security products. He's been at Trend for about 2 years now and contributes to the company's virtualization, cloud, and content security, as well as other solutions. Frequent speaker on the direction of security threats and the types of technologies available to address those threats. Dan here with me to discuss how organizations can secure their complex and dynamic virtual environments. And Dan, really appreciate you taking time today.
Well, thanks, James. I'm very happy to be here and looking forward to our conversation.
We'll kick it off right here with an idea for our listeners who really are considering implementing virtualization. Again, it's kind of climbing on that priority list for a lot of IT shops out there. How are virtual environments different from physical data centers when it comes to security requirements?
Yeah, there is actually a great deal of differences between a virtual environment and a physical environment. And also the kind of technology that you would implement to be able to address those differences. For example, you have different virtual servers that could be residing on a physical server that are actually communicating between them. So if one of them gets attacked, even though that may not be the target system, it can actually have, because of that communication, have that attack communicate through the VM communication, inter-VM communication, to the other server, and so the other server can be at risk. That means that to have the appropriate type of security technology to deal with those unique as well as other unique characteristics of the virtual environment, you need to have security technology that is aware that it's working within a virtual world. So it has to have special characteristics to be able to address those security risks that you have in the virtual world.
And that awareness just isn't there in those physical data centers. And I know from Trend Micro's perspective, this idea of virtually aware is something that you talk to folks about. I want to dive a little deeper here and find out really what you mean in terms of what that implies in terms of securing, again, the server and the desktop virtual environments that folks ultimately are rolling out more and more these days.
Yeah, it can be as simple as things such as this, James. For example, if you have a physical server with 10 virtual servers on it, standard anti-malware, antivirus software is not aware that there are 10 virtual servers running on this box. So that if they're going to do a scan, they may do it all at the same time. This is also the case for a virtual desktop on the host system. If it's going to do a scan when all these virtual desktops log in, it's not aware that it's in a virtual environment, so it can do these scans all at the same time. That has huge impact on the performance of those systems and their being able to deliver a virtual desktop to that end user or to deliver the applications that those servers are running. On top of that, there are also elements that are unique. For example, when you have 10 virtual servers and one of them may be dormant. Now, normal AV can't scan that, and maybe that particular system also hasn't received any patches. When it starts up, normal AV doesn't realize what it needs to do, so all of a sudden it's exposed to the world and it's vulnerable, and again, through the inter-VM traffic, it's now exposing all those other servers as well. Virtually aware software that scans appropriately so you don't compromise performance and can protect a server before it gets exposed to the world to make sure it gets a scan and its patches are updated is the only way you can really deal with that kind of unique environment.
Let me ask you about the software in terms of its default. Is it defaulted, say I have, let's just pick a number, 200 virtual desktops. Is it at some default to only scan a few at a time, or is that something that IT gets to set up on their own and configure based on their needs, their bandwidth constraints, their performance requirements, et cetera?
It actually has the capability to understand the environment that it runs in so that it will not scan all the different desktops or the host for each of those desktops in such a way to impinge performance. What that means is it does things such as it, for example, on a virtual desktop, you have what's called a gold image. It's the same image that everybody gets. So if there aren't files that change within that image, it doesn't scan those, okay, so that it's smart about that. It also can see when it needs to scan different host virtual desktops in such a way that everybody is able to maintain their performance. So it has that kind of intelligence built into the environment to be able to ensure that you, with a virtually aware virtual desktop type of scanning capability, you can actually get a much higher density of virtual desktops off of a host. We're looking at actually 2 to 3 times greater than using standard AV technology.
All right, and sounds then again like that we don't need a whole lot of human intervention there, so it allows IT to spend time on other issues instead of just monitoring and watching some software.
Yeah, and actually that's an important one, James, because IT has better things to do than to try and figure out how to administer setting up scanning for 10 or 20 servers on a single physical box when they've got 100 physical boxes that they've deployed with 10 or 20 servers on each one, or they have 10 host machines with 100 virtual desktops hanging off of each one. Can you imagine the nightmare if they had to figure out how to set up the scanning procedure?
Oh, come on. That sounds like fun.
Not the fun I want to take.
Yeah. I don't think the fun any of our listeners want to partake in. Let's do this. Again, Dan Reese joining us from Trend Micro. And Dan, let's jump over to, again, I mentioned virtualization growing on the IT priority list, and it has been up on near the top of that list for a good couple of years now. For those that are just getting started, for whatever reason, maybe the economy held them back, they're making a transition, say, to Windows 7, something like that has made them get ready for this move to these virtualized environments. When does security and that conversation, where does it need to be in the timeline and come into the discussion?
Yeah, that's a great question because, in fact, it has to be at the very beginning. And think of security not as just the software that you deploy, but also the way that you architect the systems that you deploy. For example, having proper methodology in security means that if a company's going to deploy a bunch of servers on physical boxes, let's say because the average that we see is 10 to 15 virtual servers per physical box, then what they want to do is also architect it in such a way that the kinds of servers that are hosting applications with sensitive data do not sit on the same physical boxes as those hosting applications that may have your outward-facing applications. And for example, in the virtualized world, 73% of all the virtualized servers are outward-facing, which is an interesting statistic. So architecting it from the start is very, very important. And then implementing the right technologies in security that allow you to automate the protection so that, for example, when I mentioned a dormant VM starting up, is automatically protected before it is exposed to the outside world. Because of the fact that you have so much communication between all of these different servers inside of that physical box, you put every one of them at risk if you don't do this from the start. So you got to architect it correctly and put the right technology in place, which also includes monitoring, includes proper patch management and things like that that can automate that process as well and protect everything from the get-go.
I always like in these conversations, Dan, to try and share with our listeners kind of insights from other folks that have gone down the road before. So let me pose this question to you before I let you leave. It's kind of one of those tips for our audience. Are there questions, Dan, that a lot of potential customers do not ask you that you think they should be asking when they're evaluating Trend Micro or any security solution in terms of virtualization?
Yeah, there's always questions. It's just like what we've seen in technology. And I know, James, you've been in technology for a long time. The latest piece of technology that everybody starts to adopt seems to be perfect and doesn't have any vulnerabilities. And the first simple question that they need to ask is, what are the vulnerabilities of this particular environment? They need to understand those things right from the very start. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't deploy virtualization because there's an incredible benefit for virtualizing your servers as well as virtualizing your desktops. But they need to go in there with a simple question such as that so that they can go in open-eyed and they can implement the right plans in place to make sure that they've got their security from the very start.
Hey, Dan, good stuff. Really appreciate the insights and the conversation today.
Well, thanks, James. I really appreciate taking the time as well.
And of course, big thank you to our listeners. If you'd like to learn more about Trend Micro Security for virtualization and cloud environments and professional services such as security assessments that are available from the PC Connection family of companies, you can do a few things. First off, contact your account manager. You can go online to govconnection.com. You can also call 1-800-800-0019. And if you would like to email us, that is simple enough, connect@pcconnection.com. I'm James Hilliard, and this concludes this installment of Connection Point.